Let us pray. Dear God, as we gathered before you, please speak to us. Open our ears. Capture our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you feel very different from Monday to Saturday. You live in the community, in the world, you realize there are COVID, there are earthquakes, there are wars in Europe. And suddenly on Sunday, we sit here singing about Jesus. You may wonder, what on earth is going around us, Lord? What are you doing? What do you want from mankind? So many people suffered. I suffered. I have to study. I have to work. What are you trying to do every day? What's your aim? What is your purpose? For me, what do you want from life, from me? In order to know what God is doing, that God has shown us what he's doing, actually. So in the Bible, it says God created heaven and earth. And in the end, we know that God is going to come back one day. So in between, God is doing something. In history, all the wars, all the countries coming up, and actually in our life, everything happened in your life. Why you were born, why you are sitting here today, and what's going to happen tomorrow, every day is according a plan. God has a plan in history. God has a plan in your life. And we want to know what that plan is. So on the first day of this year, I came to Calaville. I started a topic called Eight Men in Genesis. We look at this man. Why? Because this man tells us about the plan of God. Last time I talked about Adam, and this time I'm going to talk about Abel. But before I do that, let me go back one more step. Because it's about God's eternal purpose in man. So if we look at the next, why God created man? In Ephesians, it tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Suddenly it tells us, before the creation, God has chosen us. God has chosen you. Why you are here, why I am here. He chose us. What? To be what? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So this is, you can say this is the will of God. God chose you. And want to transform us to become holy. Holy means just for him. You are not for, your life is not for making money. Your life is not for making successful achievement on earth. I built the highest tower. I achieved that. I got a good grade at school. No, your life is not for getting good grades, but should be holy and without blame. No sin. So God's mind is to choose us. He wants man. He wants you. He wants your life to be changed. He wants your life to be for him. Having predestined us, sometimes the parents, they want their children. Oh, I want my children to be a lawyer. I want my children to be a doctor. But what does God want? God wants you and me to be the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So God wants us not to be a lawyer, not to be a doctor, not to be rich, but to become sons, a according to the good pleasure of His will. So God has a will. God chose you. God chose you. God chose us and transformed us to be His sons. Not an earthly man, but transform us to be heavenly, just like His Son. So today, when you go to school, go to work, every day, all the good things, bad things happen to you. Why? 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 Because God is transforming you. So this is the will of God. Many years ago, I watched a TV program. Maybe some of you have watched that. It's called Master Chef. They brought out a big pot of soup and asked the contestant, come and taste the soup. Tell us what's ingredient inside. Someone come and taste. They have pepper. There are celery. There are onions. And everyone can name some ingredients in the soup. Similarly, when God, what does God want in man? He wants some qualities in man. And last time we talked about what's the ingredient in man that God wants. What is the quality when we see God, the work of God in Adam's life? Now, when last time, this is what I shared last time. When God put Adam in the garden, He let him choose everything. You can eat all this, but except that tree, except the fruit from that tree. That means He gave Adam free will. God wants man to love Him. This is the quality God wants. Everybody listen carefully. This is what God wants in your life. God wants you and me to love Him. But not compulsory. God does not want a robot. God does not force you to love Him. God wants you to choose. I do this not because I'm afraid of punishment. I do this not because I'm afraid of bad things happen to me. I do this because I want to tell God I love Him. So God is looking for this quality. God is looking for this ingredient in your life. So throughout the whole history of mankind, God is looking for someone. God wants people to love Him. I may say the same thing today. Many things happen to you, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You may cry, you may have joy, everything. But God wants you to love Him. Because just like our Lord Jesus, He loved His Father. So this is what happens right now. We can't explain everything about, I don't know why there's earthquake in Turkey. I can't explain the COVID. Why? What is the plan of God? But I know what God is doing. I know one thing. God wants people to love Him. Now, today we are going to look at the second qualities. The second qualities, what that is? Faith. It's about faith. In the second man, we can see what God is looking for. He wants faith. And in the Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was okay, he is good. God is testifying His gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We are going to think about what does that faith points to. Sometimes we use this word carelessly. Oh, do you have faith in passing this exam? Do you have faith in something happened? No. Actually, faith not points to what will happen, things happen. But faith points to God Himself. Have faith in God. And Abel put his faith on, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. There is a sacrifice that Abel gave to God. And what is that? So we are going to think about what this faith means. Okay? So in order to know about Abel and Cain, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam, after they sinned, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden. And what happened next is from Genesis 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, the first son, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. So now we see these two brothers, Cain, the older one, Abel, the younger one. The younger one, Abel, was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So one is interested in gardening, maybe, planting. The other is interested in keeping the sheep. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, this is the difference. One brought the fruit of the ground, the older brother, Cain. The younger one brought the firstborn of his flock. But we may seem wonder why the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Why? Why God both worked very hard? Why God pleased with Abel's offering and not Cain's offering? What does it mean? And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Cain was so upset. Now, this is the reason for, that's what I think, okay? When people sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the ground. But Cain, out from this cursed ground, no, I can bring up something good. When God said, this is no good, I don't think so. With my intelligence, with my hard work, even though you say it's no good, I can bring up because I am special. I'm the firstborn. I'm better. So I can work it out, make something good when God says it's bad now. However, how about Abel? Why would he keep the sheep or the flock? Because, and when we look back in chapter 3, after man sinned, Adam and Eve felt they are naked. So they used the fig leaves to make clothes and cover their body. You know, fig leaves doesn't last long, isn't it? So God used animal skin to cover their body. What does it mean? It means when men fell into sin, men became shameful, they try to cover up their shame. Just like when we have done something wrong, we try to cover up. We don't let people know that we are sinful. And we even try to hide in the bush so God won't see us. But that is not the way. Our covering up does not work. Lord, I've done something wrong. Let me do some good thing to cover up. This is the idea of fig tree to cover up our shame. I do something up. I make a fig tree. I pick the fig tree, make them in the clothes to cover my shame. Men always try to do something to cover their shame. Or if not enough, they hide in the bushes. That is not the way of God. What's God's way? God's way is sacrifice. An animal died. Take the skin off and the skin to cover the shame. This animal speaks of, in God's mind, is the sacrifice of his son, Christ. When we realize we were sinners, we may say, I have done something wrong, but not really. Even though I've done something wrong, I can do something good. I use the good thing to bring my good work before God. God, look, I've done all this good thing, even though there are a lot of bad things behind. Lord, look, this good thing, see. As if the Lord can't see our sin. So in other words, Cain tried to please God by what? By his good work. Whereas Abel, when he came before the Lord, not my good work. I know only the death of the animal can cover my shame, just like God did. So he followed God's way. When God say only the dead animal skin can cover my shame, I believe, I trust, I have faith. He has faith, not in his own way, not in his good way, not in his good work, but his faith in the death of the animal. God accepted that. So I only take this before the Lord. Only the skin, only the death of this animal, only this sacrifice. God says in Hebrews just now, an excellent sacrifice. Now today what it means, it doesn't mean God prefers lamb instead of fruits. It means man's way or God's way. Your good work or Christ's death sacrifice. So whenever I came before the Lord, not my good work, not what good work I've done, but the sacrifice of Christ. By that, only by that, the death of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, God can find pleasure in me. So this, when I mean faith, it points to faith in myself, or I have faith in God. Cain put his faith in his good work. This is out of the crops. Look, I've make a lot of effort to grow this crop. Lord, look at it, how good it is, how good I am. But Abel, when he came before the Lord, how good I am, look at the sacrifice. I can't do anything. It's by the blood of the Lamb. So this is the main, this is the principle. Whenever we came before the Lord, God is looking for this quality. When man come before the Lord, you know, all religion, they told you, you have to pray. You have to do good works in order to save yourself. All religion on earth is based on your good work to save yourself into heaven. Make your way to heaven by your good work, but not God's way. God's way is, I can't do anything. I am a sinner. I need the blood of Christ to cover me. And only by God's way, I can come before the Lord. This is the thing that God is looking for in our life, in your life today. When you come before the Lord, not how good I am, but it's because of Christ. Now notice, when someone is according to how good he is, what's his reaction? So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? He got angry with God. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it desires, is for you, but you should rule over it. You know, when you get angry, it's very close to sin. Another step, another step, another step. So he's going farther and farther away from God. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Notice, when someone trusts and relies on how good he is, when he was rejected, what happens? He got so angry, even so angry with God. Are you angry with God? God, I've done this. I've been so good. why this thing happens to me? Sometimes we may be angry with God. And this angry will push us into trying to hurt some others, isn't it? When you got angry with someone, you may say something, you may do something, or you may not do something you should. He's in trouble. I'm not going to help him. You are not doing the right thing. Because when you are angry with some people, you will try to hurt him. Now you see, when someone is so focused in himself, his good work, when he was rejected, then all this come along. Hate, anger, murder, jealousy, all come along. Why? Because he put faith in himself. So faith is not a simple thing, just, oh, I have faith in God. If you really have faith in God, a lot of things will follow. If you do not have faith in God, you have faith in yourself, and you find yourself rejected one day, many things will come along. You get angry. You want to hurt someone. It drives us into deeper into sin. Isn't it? So, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? How cool he is. Not cool. Cold-blooded. Killing his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Do you care about your brother? How many one here have a brother here at home? Oh, so many brothers. Am I my brother's keeper? Isn't your brother annoying sometimes? Do you have to, am I my brother's keeper? Isn't it? I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, there's no love there. When someone has put no faith in him, or put faith in himself, he doesn't care about others. He wants to hurt others. So faith is not just one thing. With faith and without faith, many things will come follow. Okay, that's what I want to point out. That's why this is a very significant quality in our life. What have you done? The voice of your brother's cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. So in these few verses, we can see Cain and Abel. Someone who put his trust in him, his good work. Someone who puts his trust in God's way. And let us go deeper and think about what does it mean. When you have faith with something, you have put your trust in something, you feel yourself, you are secured. You'll be more relaxed. If you have faith with your chair, you can totally sit comfortably in your chair, isn't it? But if I tell you your chair is going to fall very soon, you start to feel insecure. So, if we have faith, then we come before the Lord, okay, now I know. I am a sinner, only saved by grace. Because the blood of the Lamb, God is not angry with me anymore. I am safe. There will be no condemnation, no worries. God is not going to judge me. No more punishment, no worries, no struggles. You see, when you are secure in Christ, your heart will be at peace. Why? We receive forgiveness of God. We know God has forgiven us. So we can enjoy the forgiveness of God. We are secured because we find the acceptance of God. God accept me, not because of my good work. God accept me because of Christ. God forgive me, not because of my good work. God forgive me because of Christ. God wants all my good work doesn't work. Only the blood of the Lamb. So another step further, I can have peace with God. I don't have to worry. Will God be angry with me today? Is God angry? Is God going to punish me? All this suffering around me, is God hate me? Does God hate me? So I don't have to worry because I have received forgiveness of God. I receive acceptance of God. Then I have peace with God. I'm secured. I don't have to worry. Why would God forgive me? Why would God accept me? Now I know. Because He loves me. You see? So, when I see God, what God has done for me, He led Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, I can see forgiveness. I can see God's acceptance. I can have peace with God. I can feel the love of God. My heart finds joy and peace and relax. No worries, no struggles. This is security. After receiving all this, how does that change you? When you find God receive you, accept you, love you, imagine someone in the sea, can't swim, almost drowning. He will be struggling in the sea. Okay, so if the lifeboat, someone passed by, put her or save her from the drowning, put her in the boat. Now you are secure. Now you are safe. Now you find peace and joy. When you see other people struggling, how would you treat them? Would you like to pull them up from the drowning sea as well? So, once we realize God has forgiven us, accept us, have peace with us, we can experience His love, we can pass this on to others. So, if you say you are a Christian, if you tell me, I have faith in Christ, I'm secure in Christ, I've experienced forgiveness of God, then you should forgive your brother. I've received acceptance of God, then you should accept others. I have peace with God, then you will always try to argue or dispute with others. You want to have peace with others as well. When you receive the love of God, what does that mean? It means you will show love to others as well. So this is the effect if we are truly have faith in Christ. Not just receiving this all. Yes, I'm a sinner, but now I have received all this. And because I have received all this, I can pass it on. I receive the love from God. I can pass on the love of God to others. This will change your life. If not, you will be something like this. An insecure person. How do I know if you are secure? You can tell how they live. An insecure person always like to compete. I compare. Hey, how come he got that? I don't have that. It's not fair. And you always try to win. I want to be number one. I want to be the best. Oh, you're always fighting for a gold medal. Because once you find yourself, I'm the best, oh good, I'm better than the others, I'm the best. Then your security rests on being the best. In other words, those who are always trying to compete, they don't feel safe. Am I good enough? I got two daughters. The younger one always try to compare. Does my father love my sister more? So she always have a chance. Then she say something. Oh, this is from your most beloved daughter. She always wants me to say, yes, I love you more than your sister. She always wants me to say that, but I never say that. Because she does not feel safe. She always wants to, yes, my father loves me more. I may not be as good as my sister. I may not be as beautiful as my sister. I may not be as smart as my sister. So she always needs affirmation. She always wants me to, oh, I love you, I love you, you are good, you are good, you are good. That means she's not secure. I really want to tell her, I love you all the same. I never change. But that tells me one thing. When we are not sure, am I good enough? If I've done something wrong, do you still love me? If I'm being a prodigal son, would God still love me? So we are not secured. We always say, am I good enough? And we always try to win in order to say, yes, I'm better than the others. Therefore, I'm safe. God will love me. So we always try to strive. We always try to be number one. We always try to be in control. And if somebody always wants to win, he cannot face or accept that he failed. No, it's not my fault. It's somebody's fault. He always points to others. No, it can't be. It's not fair. Something wrong. Make all these excuses. If it still doesn't work, he or she will pour out his anger and blame others. This is very obvious when you have siblings at home, isn't it? It's his fault. He told me to do it. Even Adam, the woman you make for me, God, he passed that truth to me. She made me sin. She try to protect ourselves. When you make all these excuses for yourself, why are you trying to protect? You want to tell others, I am innocent. I am good. They are wrong. Punish them. I'm innocent. I'm the good one. And when things does not go your way, you be very angry. Just like Cain. Angry with his brother. Because God loved his present. And blame everything. Even blame God. Remember? Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and blame Cain, isn't it? So if you always like to blame others, if you always like to make excuses, if you cannot say, this is my fault, we are proud. We don't want to say, I'm wrong. We are very stubborn. It's very hard for people to say, sorry, it's my fault. It's very hard. How about Cain? You never hear him say, oh, it's my fault. No, he just complained to God. This punishment is too great, God. You sent me away. He only make excuses. He always bargain and not saying, it's my fault. So ask about yourself. Think about yourself. When was the last time you say, it was my fault, I'm sorry? When was the last time you say in your heart, it was your fault? You are responsible. You are bad. We always say, pointing our fingers to others, but where is Adam? It's my fault. I'm sorry. Insecure people try to point their fingers to others. Insecure people always make excuses. Insecure people always want to maintain that they are good because they rely on their good before God. They won't accept that they are no good. So remember, when people come before the Lord, they say, "We are sinners, saved by grace." This is a big step, isn't it? When somebody success, we become jealous. Would you ever jealous with others? Oh, he's so successful. He got number one. So what? I can get it better. It doesn't mean anything to me. You're being cynical or sarcastic to others. When someone you envy, she failed or he failed. Serves you right. You are no good. All these reactions comes from one thing. Me. I am good. I want to be the best. And this is not the man God wants. So if you ask me what am I sharing to you today, it's about the quality God wants. What qualities? The faith, not in our good work, but faith in Christ alone. Faith in Him. When I come before the Lord, I rely on Christ. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to always compare to others. Oh, someone's preaching. They say he's a good preacher. Oh, that means I'm bad. I feel so sorry. I'm bad. I'm no good. I feel so sad. Disappointment. All this disappointment, sadness. Why? Because I'm not that good. He is better than me. So comparing to others, even Christians, even among preachers, maybe someone is, oh, that is a good preacher. Oh, we like to listen to him. He preaching. No one like to listen to him. Oh, I feel so upset. Why? Because I want to compete. I want everyone to love me. If I'm so, my whole life is so focused on myself, this is not the faith God wants. So, if we are mean to others, or shows little care about people's feelings, how you comment about people? Would you say some harsh word if someone failed? Oh, he's no good, blah, 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 blah. Complaining about that person? If you are showing no mercy, no grace to other people, well, that speaks of your life. Not speak about his life, but your life. Are you a mean person? That means you are insecure. You have to step others down. He is no good. He is no good. What does it mean? I am good. Oh, someone do something? No good. Bad. You are useless. Idiot. We use strong words to very harsh on others. Why? When you say others are idiots, does it mean that you are genius? We want to uphold ourselves. This constantly try to push ourselves up, 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 up is just like Satan. It's like Cain. When God say, "You are not that good," I'm pleased with that. Cain got very, very angry. So, what are you? Who are you? Are you always trying to someone to raise yourself up? If someone say you are no good, I hate you. If someone point out your mistake, I hate you. Are you someone like this? Well, that is not the quality God wants. God used everything around you to change you. Not to be like this. Not to be mean. Not to be jealous. Not to be stubborn. Not to be say, so that you can really say, "I'm wrong. It's my fault." You can apologize. You can accept your failure because you know God loves you. Even though we are no good, we can stand up again and follow Him. So our whole life is not to try to win favor from other people. In Ephesians, how come we are saved? By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. Not by ourselves, not by good work. It's the gift of God, not of works, not of my good work. Lest anyone should boast. So this is what God's want. Saved through faith. Faith on what? Faith in Christ, His blood, His redemption. Not by my good work. Faith not of my good work, not of myself. So we all have faith. Faith in what? Faith in yourself? Faith in your good work? Or faith in Christ? In Him we have redemption through His blood. By His blood we are redeemed. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So we are saved. We are secure. Why? Because of His blood. Not how many Bible verses you can remember. Not how many Sunday school you go to. Not how many youth group you go to. Not by your good work. But by His blood. So throughout our whole life, Paul says in Galatians, "For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For insecure people, I always want applause from men. I always want people to like me." We always follow the others, your peer group, at school. All your friends talk like this, dress like this. You want to do the same thing. You want them to like you, isn't it? You don't want to be the odd one out. You want to win favor of men. When people, "Oh, you are good. We love you." We seek to please men. Are your whole life trying to seek to please men? Then that's not the quality. Jesus Christ on earth, He does not try to seek men's applause. "For if I still pleased men, I would not be born servant of Christ." For Paul, he is not thinking about to please men. He is thinking about born servant of Jesus Christ. He, in his mind, he's thinking of serving Christ, serving God. What's in your mind? What's the quality of man? What's the quality in man that God wants? That is our heart. Is not to seek man's favor, but to please God Himself. This is the man of faith I'm talking about. Man of faith, not faith in his good work, how good he is, trying to be number one, not so sure, always stepping on others, try to make himself look good. No, this is no faith. True faith can show mercy. True faith can show peace and forgiveness to others. Are you men of faith? What would your friends talk when they talk about you? What's their impression in their mind about you? Are you mean? Are you always jealous? Are you always making excuses? Would you ever make apology to people when you have done something wrong? Or you are always trying to number one, try to beat them, make them look stupid, make yourself look good. What kind of person you are right now? Let me ask you, and may God ask you, what kind of person we are right now? So may God speak to you and me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have shown us what man of faith will do. We pray that when we have faith in the blood of the Lamb, let our whole life manifest God's forgiveness, God's peace, and God's love in our life. Let our life show forth your beautiful character. We commit ourselves before you. Work in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.